This past 2 weeks was very rough for Klal Yisrael, losing various Yidden, starting in a terrorist attack. Then some soldiers were killed. Over the weekend, from Thursday and onwards, a few different Yidden, very chashuv Yidden, were tied to Svarim or Nifter. Then some more soldiers. And before I began recording this on Friday, the 19th, another special scholar I knew was Nifter, Professor Jordan Penkower. Now, today, I would like to focus on one of them, who was Nifter last Thursday. He was a special, unique Talmud Chacham. His name was Rebellia Greenzweig. Not only was he a unique Talmud Chacham, he was also a prolific author. And I'd like to discuss a little bit about this tremendous Yid. The reason why I'd like to discuss him is I was zeicha to develop a nice kesher with him over many years. Now, this type of hesped is not in any way meant to encompass the totality of his productive life story. It's just some of my personal reflections about him and his works from the many conversations I was zeicha to have with him. I must say that, sadly, I did not listen to the advice of the Chassam Sofer, who told his children and his Talmidim, since he won't be around forever, they should chap around and listen to his stories. Unfortunately, this is not the first person with whom this has happened to me. I took for granted that he would be around for forever, and therefore I would always be able to ask him again for a particular story and idea that he mentioned. In addition, many of the topics that we discuss, I simply cannot recall all of them. Now, the point of a hesped is to reflect, to study, to think about, and to absorb what the Nifter meant. Hopefully, as a result, the lessons learned will be internalized and carried on. Over here, what we're green, so he definitely would not want this. So these are just personal observations, what he meant to me. If there are any inaccuracies, I ask Mechila in advance. I have no idea if anyone will hear this even. It's just for me to reflect on this incredible gift that I had, to have this kesher with this tremendous Yid. And interestingly enough, I came across just this week, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that when he was a Rav in Lita, in 1933, he gave a hesped on the Chafetz Chaim. And he said that earlier, when Rav Meir Simcha was Nifter, he had not given a hesped. Now he was a Rav in a very small little Litvische Shtetla with mostly people from the village, as they call Amratzim village. And he said they wouldn't appreciate the Ar Sameach. He said, did one of them ever lose a night's sleep because of his kasha that he had on a Sefer Sameach? But even though people were not able to assess the Chafetz Chaim's greatness in scholarship, but the simplest Jew reflected the bright hope that he had, Lamashal, the Chafetz Chaim gave, with that Mashiach, were living in the times of Mashiach, etc. So everyone always knew about him, so Mameila, and they expected that Chafetz Chaim was going to be there for the greeting of Mashiach. So the Chafetz Chaim's Ptira had an impact. So that, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, is why he gave a hesped on Chafetz Chaim as opposed to Rav Meir Simcha. I'm not comparing Rebellia Greenzweig in any way to Dar Sameach necessarily, but this is more a reflection for myself. Okay. How did it begin? My connection with him was very simple. While I was a bacher learning in the Mir, a friend of mine, he asked me, you want to come along? There's some chashev yid, a chashev talmud chacham, and he lets people come to him. Okay, you know, I said, you know, why not? Okay. I come in, and I see a house packed with Svarim. I mean, everywhere you looked, it was Svarim everywhere. The whole time I was sitting at the Shabbos table, all I was doing was sitting and looking at the Svarim, simply drooling over them. Throughout the Suda, I realized that not only does he just have a collection, he knows everything in these Svarim. You were already able to see, was Nicker, that he used these Svarim very much so. And he was holding in them. And they were not just the standard Svarim. This was one of the libraries, perhaps one of the greatest libraries I've ever seen, in the extent of also that it was also in its usage. It came up during the meal. We spoke about numerous Svarim and random sugyas. I simply was blown away from that Shabbos onwards. I used to try to visit him every few weeks. We would speak for a few hours at a time about different topics and Svarim. His knowledge was, simply put, incredible. After that, I returned to the United States. I would still call him from time to time in Lakewood. This is pre-computers. He never had a computer. He never knew how to use email. But even then, I would call him from a payphone. I would collect my questions after a certain amount of time, and then I would ask him, and he would give me his time very nicely and answer many of the different questions I asked him. And when I returned to Eretz Yisrael after I got married, I also would come to visit him briefly. I would bring him some articles of mine, of others. We discuss Sfarim. We continue discussing Sfarim and other topics. Okay. When asking about him, I heard, said on him, he was a secret weapon of Mechon Yerushalayim, which I'll elaborate on later on. He was a legendary Talmud of Yeshivas Panovich, and he always was proud to be a Talmud. To talk about is that he was a Talmud of Panovich, his close relationship with Rav Kahaneman, and his great Rebbe Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. Now, his exact story of when he was, where he was, who he learned by all the years, I do not know exactly. I know that he spent a lot of time in Panovich, and that was a big aspect of his pride, but he was elsewhere also. He was a Magachir in different places, and that also is its own story. This is above what I know about. Okay, now, but at a certain point in time, besides giving shirim, I guess he wasn't finding enough Sipuk giving the shirim on all different regular standard yeshiva topics and others, but he had a tremendous will to write, and he was a writer, and he literally nonstop wrote, and as I'll explain about that soon. It could be very simple, is that he felt through writing anyone who writes, you get a special clarity. And he felt that maybe it could be also felt that this would have a more lasting impact than Talmidim. This is a struggle that many have, and there's a lot of written about it, but I have no idea. I don't recall talking to him about it. At one point, I came across a fascinating conversation the Chafetz Chaim had with his son about doing chesed. So the Chafetz Chaim said the way he does it mostly is he writes for him. He finds out that there's a need for something, and then he goes and writes for him. So it could be Rebbe Greenswag. He felt that there was a need to a lot of areas of Torah, and we'll discuss that soon, needed someone to write about them. So he put his kaychus more into that, but okay. Anyway, now, one of the things that, as I said, I saw was blown away by his library. Now, at that time, I found out that this was only one room. In all the rooms in the apartment, there's Sfarim. Another room has much more Sfarim, and eventually I did get to see that also. Mind-boggling amount of Sfarim. He had incredible, incredible love for Sfarim. And he built this massive library. And as I said, it was used. Not only was it used, you could tell from the conversations, but not only the outer appearance looked used, but even when you spoke to him, you could see he was holding in all different types of things. So there's a passage, a famous passage from Rabbi Yitzchak Kampanton, where he says like this, "Ein chachmas adam agas ela ad makom shesfar magin." And he says, "L'chein yimka adam kol ma sheyesh lo, he should sell everything, v'yikne svarim. Ki derech mashal, mi shein lo sifrei gemari, yefshe li yazbaki kach. V'chein kach mi shein lo sifrei harufuot, lo yach li yazbaki ba." Goes on, Lazam Razal, Marba Sfar, Marba Chachma, Uperish Rashi Al, Uknelecha Chover, is a Mishnah novice, Chover Mamish, you should have friends, Vieshoim Svarim, you should have Svarim, Kias Sefu Chaver Toiv, that Kairea Besvarim Shulum, who Bechlavi Chayacha Tluimloch, Minegal, Mishesh Svarim, Hema Mavi Moisle de Chachma Vadas, Ki Chayacha Vayuch Yamecha. So this is obviously a passage that many Svarim collectors use to justify to their wives why they have to have so many Svarim, but he went full force, Kneilecha Chover, he went out and bought it whenever he was able to, whenever he was able to afford Svarim. But it was with an intention to learn. And boy, did he learn from these Sfarim. Now, there's another passage also from about libraries, from also an early source, Rabbi Yudim and Tibin, and he writes, "Bini, sim svarecha, chaveirecha, v'argazecha, v'tevesecha, pardesecha, v'ganesecha." And the way they explain this passage is that you should, as instead of friends, you should learn Yisfarim Bi'iyun. They should become your friends. That's where you should be metayil. You should take tours through Yisfarim. And he definitely was a Yid who spent time sitting in his house, going through the vast library that he had, and using it and writing from it. We'll see more about that shortly. Now, Agav, in the Mishnah, it says, Chavar Mamish. He also was legendary. He had many friends. He used to, and came up throughout the conversations, the different Gedolim, Rabbanim, that he was very close with in various conversations that came up. L'mashal, his relationship with Moshe Sternbach. He had a famous neighbor downstairs, lived downstairs from him for 52 years, Rav Yeshua Soloveitchik. They had a very close relationship. Rav Yeshua would come visit him all the time for the Svarim. They would schmooze and learning, and they'd talk about all different types of things. So he also took that part of the Mishnah true. So the one aspect of Kinei L'Chachavar Chavar Mamish, another is Svarim. Now there's another parish which is to take a by a pen, which we'll see by Richos that he definitely did. Now, there's one story I'll just mention with his friends. One friend that he also mentioned a lot, who's also a Svarim collector, who's just recently lifted, is Rafal Reichman. So Rafal Reichman also had a vast collection of Svarim and also manuscripts. So just as a cute story, I once lent him in the time, way back, there was the controversy of the making of a Gadol. So he didn't read English. But then afterwards, Reb Nosson Kamenetsky wrote a book documenting the controversy. It was known as An Anatomy of a Ban. This book was very hard to find, but this book was written in Hebrew and in English. So Rabbi Greenzweig was fascinated with Jewish history, as I'm going to mention shortly. He asked to borrow it, and I lent it to him. And because he was able to read the, because Reb Nosson wrote it in Hebrew also. So he lent my copy, he asked me, Rishus, if he could lend my copy to Rafal Reichman to read about the Reb Nosson Kamenetsky, how he described the ban and all the different aspects with the making of a Gadol. Now, for those that know, Rafal Reichman was one of the people involved in getting the book banned. So he used my copy through Rav Greenzweig to read up about it. Anyway, you can learn many different things from him. The one main nakuda is not to waste time. He simply will learn nonstop. From the dates of the Torah published by his children, which I'm going to discuss soon, L'mashal Kruei Mayin, which goes through all the Yom Tovim and everything, you can see a lot of times there's dates on the top when he wrote it. So L'mashal, you're going through the volume on Rosh Hashanah, you'll see on the top it says, a bunch of pieces are dated, Erev Rosh Hashanah. What was this year doing Erev Rosh Hashanah? He's learning some Lamdash piece, Negei Rosh Hashanah. And writing it up. Incredible. Now, he simply would plug away and write as of now. Another nakuda is the Mishnah Novice talks about Masuna Bedin. You have to look up carefully. He didn't shoot from the hip stam. He was very careful, very well thought out. And if you ask him a question, he'd say, sometimes I have to get back to you. Look into it. He was very calm. And one remarkable thing about him is he knew so much on a vast, incredible yada, which I'm going to try to document a drop. He was not a Balgaiv in any way. He was very approachable. And he was very open. People would come to talk to him, and he was very nice. I remember when the guy, when I was going to teach him the first time, someone pointed out to me, look, try to guess in this shul, a lot of chashim people in the shul, who's the guy that we're eating by? And like, and he points and he looks like such a simple, quiet, nice, unassuming guy, and then Itaka was. Okay, now, amongst the areas that he knew also was Jewish history, very well read in Jewish history. He was familiar with all the real Makairis and academic literature. He was very curious by nature. So here, too, we have to point to two passages in the Reb Yitzchak Kampanton. The Mashal, when he talks about learning, he says, when you learn a Gemara, kol mayim havam stakol, mihu ha-medaber, mihu ha-shayilu, mihu ha-meshev, mihu ha-maksho, mihu ha-metaretz. V'ramu tana, im tanu ha-emayra, im rav, im talmud. He definitely was concerned about this when he learned the Gemara. He knew the history from the times of Chazal, and always, when he was learning different things, he knew, this is a person coming from this Benesh Medrash, this is coming from this base Medrash, this Rishon is from here, this Rishon is from here, this Achron is from here, this is, he's a Chassidisha, he's a Litvisha, he's a Talmud of him. And it helped him greatly in understanding a lot of different things, and you get tremendous insight in this. And this is a you saw it already, Reb Yitzchak Kampanton, and L'mashal, I'm very fond of quoting, and that's coming from Shlomo Kain to the Oitzer Hasfarim of Ben Yankov of Maskil in Vilna, where Shlomo Kain, the Dain in Vilna, gives a whole introduction and the importance of knowing all different types of ideas. And he was very into knowing these type of ideas. Avadi, he didn't spend Yom Vilayla on it. It was a tafel, but it was a tafel that he used to help the Iker. Elsewhere, Yitzchak Kampanton writes, he also was very concerned. He would read. He would know what's this guy's mahalach, his style. And Bekitzer, he was very into all these type of topics. Now, in different conversations, we discuss a mechaber, he could have a lamdash sefer, and then he could also have a drush. So I would ask him, is this drush sefer good? Is this not? He had a vast bakias in all these type of areas also. So sometimes he would, sometimes it came out from the conversation, oh, this gadol was a goyin olam in drush. But in his tshuvas, you don't see as much. Or just the opposite, but more common. He's a goyin olam in drush in tshuvas, but his drush wasn't as good. He's to say, it doesn't mean that just because he was a goyin olam in this, it doesn't mean his drush is as good, or at least what we're seeing. Okay. When we always discuss about history, reading history, I used to talk to him about this academic, that academic, is he good, is he not good? So he also I was able to see he had an unbelievable ability to pick out what was good, what was not. But he used to joke to me in a joking type manner. Sometimes it's not good to know so much Jewish history, because you see the parshas, sometimes the ugliness comes out in different pulmas and in different parshas. So sometimes it's better not to know, even though a lot of times it is important to know. Okay. Another yisaid was that he told me that relating to this was one time I read a book about a certain person. I asked him, is it good? What does he think about it? So he said, interesting concept. That a lot of times you'll find two authors could write about the same person, and when you read the book of each person, you could swear that this is not the same person. This is not the same guy. What happens is that the author, a lot of times, he sees what he wants to see in this person, and that's how he portrays all the information that is out there. So you have to always be careful. And back to Rav Yitzchak Kampantone, you have to know, where is even the author coming from? What's his base medrash? Sometimes they take, in the case we were talking about, was trying to make someone a certain more kanoistic, and because that author was trying to see in this gadol that he was writing about as a kanoi, others were not. So he less anyway. You have to always be careful. Now another nekuda that he encouraged me a lot was about writing. That he was always happy to show. He was always happy to hear, see something I wrote. He was very happy to show me when he quoted me inside in one of his works to give me chizuk. Anyway, now so he. Another thing I said is he had a tremendous love of Svarim. But it wasn't only that he to embodying and all this type of stuff. He also was involved with Mechon Yerushalayim. He worked for them, and we'll describe more what he did. But he was, even after he left working for them, he remained an advisor. Even after Buxbaum was Nifter, he had a tremendous close relationship with Buxbaum. But he would give advice to the children of them about different Svarim, as a Kedai to print and stuff like that. Also, not so well known is there's a Litvish set. It's probably a set, but a bunch of Sfarim of different Gedolei Litva, forgotten about Gedolei Litva, and it says on the cover of each one of them, after it says the Sefer, it would say Madura Mitzumtzemet. Something like 25, 30 such Sfarim were published, and a lot of times I would come across one or two of them, and I asked them, is this good? Eventually it came out that he was the person behind the publishing of this. He held, these are unbelievable gedolim, and people looking for quality materials, and this is what should be printed. L'maisa, he didn't make back his money. It took forever to sell, and I think a lot of the volumes didn't even sell because people don't appreciate these types of svarim. Anyway, he loved all kinds of Torah, Litvisha Torah, Sfaradish Torah, Hasidish, early, late, whether it's Ga'inim, Rishainim, all topics. He was into Kachem, he was into Torah, everything. Kol Torah Kula by him was important. And he would help people with his vast knowledge. Just to give three brief examples, one is the famous Chibur Shari Talmud Torah. So in one of the editions, I believe he might even say his name, but he helped him give a lot of Makairis. The Sefer was updated a bunch of times, and it is an academic work from Yosef Taburi. I think it says also there that he got a letter from this Yid, Elie Greenzweig. He actually didn't want his name to be quoted, but he was quoted in it. Okay. Now, one Sefer story that had a cute story was like this. One time, when I was a bacher, I used to love to learn. A lot of people like to learn the sefer from Ritzi Pesach Frank to Makari Kodesh. Yom Tovim time, it's a gewaldic sefer. The shilas that it brings up, the famous shilas, and a lot of times the Mar Mekaymus, and from there you could go further. And there's Harus Kiyadua of Rabbi Yisrael Kain, also tremendous Talmud Chacham. The late 90s, and until 2002, two more volumes came out, which Agav is very interesting. Ritzi Pesach Frank, almost nothing was published of his in his lifetime. Almost everything came in afterwards, and we have a vast literature of materials of his that is still coming out. So they put out a sefer called Hadras Kodesh, and one volume was focusing on Bar Mitzvah, Tefillin, and Katan, and the other volume was about Nesu'in, Bris Milah, and Pidyon HaBen. They were malakit from materials already published by that time, Tshuvas and stuff like that, and also new materials that they had. And I was looking at the sefer at the time. I bought it right away, and Gvaldig stuff, but I noticed the Ha'aris, they were not the same type of Ha'aris found in the standard set of Makari Kodesh. They were much more. I noticed the Marmakaimus there, the certain type of Marmakaimus. If you know what you're looking for, you'll see they're not the standard type of Marmakaimus, the Marmakaimus of Rishainim and stuff like that. So I said, so in the course of different conversations, he mentioned to me that he has a close kesher with Mechon Frank. He's very close with Rav Rosenthal. So I said to him, this Har, you know what's shot in the Hadrus Kodesh, is this also Rabbi Yosef Kain? It doesn't say that it's Rabbi Yosef Kain, but who wrote the Haris there? So he goes with a smile and covers his lips. He goes, shh, this is me. I wrote those Haris. He was very proud of it, but he didn't want me to tell anyone. So at that time, I didn't tell anyone. And I was able to, but he able to tell, if you compare it with his other writings, these are the type of Marmakaimus and Sfarim that only he quotes. Now, eventually, It was reprinted. They did say his name. He did allow them to say his name in it, and he would start to reference it also, so that's why I could say The Secret today. Now, as I said, he wrote nonstop. I would like to describe this just briefly. Basically like this. For years, every Parsha and Yontif, he would pick one topic. And he would spend X amount of time over the week, or Shabbos and stuff, and then he would write it up, a few pages. It didn't mean he wasn't looking for, let's say, the famous topic. Any topic would come to him, and then he would start looking into it and researching it from Gaonim, Rishonim, Chazal, whatever was negated. And then over the years, he would start adding to these notes, to the materials that he wrote. And he had years and years of these materials. Now, it was when he was writing it, it was not with the intention that he's ever publishing it. As I said, Vayis Tachayis, he held that Ksiva is an important way of getting something clear. And he amassed thousands of pages. Okay. He started doing it. He also did it for the Yom Tovim. And every Yom Tov, he would sit down, he'd pick a topic, whether on Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, and he would write them. At a certain point in time, some of these pieces, his grandkids, they started typing it all up. He had them. And he would give it out sometimes to different journals, Chveis, Kavitz, Beis, Aram, Yisrael, Yeshurin, Yerusha, Seinu, and you could see certain pieces of his starting to be published in different places. So it was also, first it was on Rosh Hashanah, it was on Chumash, and as I said, also the Yom Tovim. Now, I don't know if he would, it sounded like that he was not, he struck at a certain point in time, different times I met him, he would tell me, oh, they already finished up most of the Torah, they did. And then I would say, so when are you going to allow it to be published? No, he doesn't want it to be published, because as I said, he was a tremendous anav. And see, he didn't want it to be published. So even though he gave out a few pieces to a few journals, but he didn't allow the bulk of the material, I guess he was struggling, should he allow it or not? Now, one of the things is that when eventually they did get published, one of his sons went and started and raised funds, and he was able to publish 10 massive volumes just on Torah alone. Eventually, they hoped to put out a volume, special volume. The volume 10 came out a few months ago, and they hoped to put out a volume just on Maftechus on the Sefer HaTorah. It's an incredible, incredible encyclopedic work on the Torah. Rabbanim, Magidish Yerim, or anyone looking to steal materials, they gave it to Hebrew Books for free. One could download these Svarim, and every parish has many pieces. I'm going to focus on a drop more in a second. And similarly, Krui Mayid, through the efforts of a Yid that was Zeichet to have a very chash of a kesher with him, and he liked him so much, so he gets a lot of credit. His name is Rabbi Fischel Schreiber in America, and he funded this set called Krui Mayid, and multiple volumes on all the Yom Tovim. Was through him, through his funding, the typing up and the publishing of the works Krui Mayid, and then more recently another sidra called Tveris Elio, which is his materials. Also, Rabbi Schreiber gets credit for this, which is materials of his on Lamashal Tefillin, Shvius, Tefila, Shabbos, a massive volume on Shabbos, and hopefully there's more volumes and more nice. And he wrote on everything. Now, besides for this one time, he also showed me, I don't know what you're talking about, Rambam Sanhedrin or something, that he wrote over a period of time a massive work, thousands of pages on Rambam Sanhedrin. And he went to show me the stack of pages, and I always would ask him from time to time, is anything coming out from it? So he would say, nah. Eventually it was typed up, and also, 3 out of 5 volumes of this was published by one of his children. So basically, in recent years, the works, many of his works on the Mayadim, on Chumash, parts of the Rambam Sanhedrin were published. And what one could see from these works is unbelievable yeda in sources and stuff like that. I was just looking through recently, one of the footnotes in materials relating to Rosh Hashanah, it had 40 or 50, more than one time I came across a char, it had 50 marmakimus of exotic svar. Now, you have to understand, this is a Yid that did not have a computer. As I said, he owned the svarim, and he bonded with the svarim, they became part of him, and he knew what's going on in the svarim. He knew how to look, he knew how to find stuff. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with Siyasta the Shmaya. And so, there's 2 aspects with the Etzem Torah. Number one is, some people complained that it, you know, it's hard to read. And the answer is it's true. Because when he wrote it, he was writing it more for himself. So he first would say he was a Mayrdik Mechadish, a Lamdish Mechadish. So for him, a lot of it also had to do with the Torah that he was saying. And he was writing it more for himself to document it. He was a very capable writer, editor, as I'm going to mention soon. So he knew how to do it, but that wasn't his intention at the time. The intention was to put it down, to put it out properly, with proper aricha, bringing out every single point. He wasn't well ready when he started to do it, and would cost a crazy hein rav. So the point is, yeah, sometimes, some certain svarim, you got to work hard on it. Ki yadua and dalim yeshivas, they're very fun. I'm not comparing him to that, but the ki yadua, people break their heads on Ber Chashmul, Reb Chaim, these are svarim, they're very hard to read. Chazanish is also very hard to read. Chazanish actually said, Beshita, that he, why should he, it comes for him, the Torah comes to him, it's so hard, he has to work so hard to produce it. Why should he make it so easy? Other authors, especially today, where everything we want to be so easy, so, and they say, Taka, people won't look at it. Okay, so that is a chesed. But the bottom line is, there's a wealth of information of fascinating original Torah, Mitzad Echad, well worth the attempt to try to figure it out. And Sveitins on the Etzem Yusaitis and lots of topics, one could come across dozens of marmakaimas from exotic materials that you will not be able to find through regular search engines. Yes, we're living in a time where, forget about the Bar Ilan, Oitzar Chachma, we're living the time now, AI, it can't come up with these type of makaimas at this point. You know, who knows what will be 20 years down the line. But what I could say is like this, that I'm around from when Oitzar Chachma began. Oitzar Chachma never, from all the years, and it's getting better and better, it is not able to come up close with the amount of Makairis and Yeda and a Diukim and exotic Makairis and a Diukim Absorption, what you could find in these materials. And you don't have to believe me, you can always go and check. Now, so Bekitzer, he, as I said, basically what's clear is this is a Yid who took the concept of writing to a fullest degree, not wasting his time, and he wrote. And eventually, even though he didn't have this intention to publish it, but his kids, it seems that what happened is that he almost was nifter from it, he was very, very sick, and they made up a seneder that if he survives it, they will start to publish his Torah, and then Yitaka survives for a while, and he allowed them to go ahead and publish it. So that was what sparked that, even though the stuff was available earlier, but he allowed it to come out. And as I said, many, many volumes came out from it. Okay. Now, for him, another nekuda we can learn from his writings is every sugi was geshmak for him. He wasn't just looking for, oh, the famous topic, I'm a Shoshana, and he's going to learn the famous raid, and he's going to sit and learn it again and again. Any topic, whether it was dry or not, he somehow was able to make it lamdish, because he was a massive Talmud Chacham. He was able to find Makaris on anything. One could see this was something they did do when he wrote. He just had tons of Mar Makaris also, so luckily they got smart. They put many of the Ha'aris into footnotes, because they were certainly tangents. And over time, he kept on adding. You could see how many Chidushim that he came up with over 20 years, let's say, about Rosh Hashanah, how they all interrelate also. So the cross-referencing eventually he added, and it could be much more cross-referencing. But as I said, it's unbelievable to see the dates, the times, and he's learning this. It's the times that not necessarily are people sitting and learning. And the actual Torah is also beautiful. But as I said, one does not have to trust me. One can look at it for themselves. You see his Yeda and bibliography occasionally. In one of the pieces, he's handling a Makar of the Mishnah Berurah, and he's showing the Mishnah Berurah didn't see this inside. He got it from this source. And all these different types of Yedias one could see throughout looking at his Sfar. There were certain topics that he wrote massive contrasim about. Some he wrote under pen names, but it seems that even though he never got involved with political stuff, he was not a kanoi type of person, and he always kept to himself different things. But it seems in the Goren controversy, he got very upset about it at the time, and he wrote an article that was published under a pen name. In recent times, it's been published, and they actually did put it included in the Mikra Eda, one of the volumes. He also wrote a massive contrast on the sugi of Sheitlach. Now, I remember that when the sugi of Sheitlach came out, the last time around, so to speak, so there were very few Talmid Chacham that were holding in all those sugis, because they're not the standard sugis that people learn, or Chayim, even in Yeridea, many of the Rabbanim did not know it so well. There were in America certain Rabbanim that Mamish were holding in all aspects of the sugi, or Belsky Kiyadu, or Favel Kohen, and others, but many were not. But when I came back to Eretz Yisrael at that time, so he said, yeah, he already wrote about it, because the tumult was already earlier tumult. At the first time there was a tumult about it, he wrote a massive contrast about it, and it was published, and supposedly was brought to Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv liked it a lot. Now, just to mention two other main areas with him and his writings and what we can learn from. Number one is like this. At one point in time, I noticed in various journals that someone started to work on David Raham. So David Raham is the question is, what's his exact relationship with the Torah? Rabbi, is he a Talmud of his? And all different types of things. But one of the Sfarim that's quoted very, very often in areas of Archaim, all areas of Archaim, whether it's davening, whether it's Hilchos Brachos, was David Raham. And Lamashal, if you look in the skama of one of the editions of David Raham, the Noyd Yudah writes, Kvar Noyd Bishar Beis Raham Gadol Mailas Achibar Sefer Raham, Veroiv Min Hagen Atfilis Arbrachas Kedushois, Avdalis HaSefer Benoim, the Torah Archaim Meviu Habi. Meviu habeis Yosef v'achroinim l'roiv ma'oid v'usefer yakar ha'erech v'yesh b'yitzayrich ki achroinim etikum imen advarim b'kitzer v'yesh hefresh b'nama aymrim akar advarim v'roi advarim brurim. B'kitzer, the Noam Yehuda was encouraging the publication of this Chibur Avod Raham. When you open up the Avod Raham, you'll see that what the Avod Raham is about. It's a sefer that's officially being mefarish all davening, but once it's not only a to explain the words, it also deals with the halachic aspects of all areas of davening. What I mean, all areas of davening, it means even Yom Neron davening, everything. But it deals with Kriyat Shema, and it has Hilchos Brachos in here. Shabbos has tons of material related to Shabbos, and at one point, there's a quote Harkavi writes that for centuries, our source for various materials of Gaonim was from David Raham. We didn't have all these Gaonim quirks that today we're zeichet to have. So it's a kolbay, a wealth of information, a beautiful sefer. It's very well written, where he was malakit from a vast library of materials that was in front of him. Some he quotes, some he doesn't quote. And Bekitzer, David Raham is a beautiful sefer to learn. Now, so it seems at a certain point in time, Rabbi Greenzweig, who had a tremendous love for Rishonim in general, decided to publish or work on publishing an annotated version of the sefer, where he's going to sit and be mefarish to be chaker the all the makayrus of the Avod Raham, to be mefarish everything about Avod Raham, because one of these like geshmaka work on Avod Raham, and it was published in different journals, different places, but usually with no name. I noticed it. Okay, I noticed the notes; they were fascinating. In the course of a conversation, I asked him about tefillah. I said to him, "Is there any work I want to understand tefillah in all aspects of it, the historical aspects?" Pshat aspects, is there any work that he would recommend? So he said, sadly, there's no such work. There are works that are good and useful. And somehow, at a certain point in time, we discussed with Avod Raham relating to it. And it came out that he was the person that was writing those articles and that he was working on the Avod Raham. And we used to always talk about, oh, is it coming out, this, that. Yeah, it's going to, Mirtz Hashem, come out. One volume already is going to come out. And then Taka in 2001, I believe it was, a volume came out. And it's called Avod Raham, and I think it says on it, Pirish Tehila L'David. Okay. So, I right away when it came out, he tells me, go to the store, I buy it, and I open it up. And Avada, unbelievable Horus and everything, doesn't say his name, nowhere. It says someone else's name completely. Basically, he didn't want his name on the book, so it didn't have his name. Incredible. Imagine working on a sefer for so long and not publishing it under your name. Okay, this is something that he did all the time. Fine. Now, if someone sits and goes through this work, you will see again how he goes through everything, all the makairis. And a lot of times, you know, let's say someone's learning yeshiva. So when you're learning Gemara, you focus on what's geshmak to you. But when you're trying to put out, let's say, if you decide to take upon yourself to talk about a work, so let's say there could be parts that are technical or not so geshmak for you, you might skip it. And sometimes footnoters or people that publish a work, they only focus on what's more selfish for themselves and not necessarily to be mefarish to a work. Here he deals with everything, every aspect. At one point, a Yid was looking at the work of a tremendous Talmud Chacham and said to me, tell me the truth, this guy doesn't use a computer? How does he know all this material? I said, no, he doesn't know how to turn on a computer. And the reason why we have to explain this again and again is because today we're living in a time where there's Eitz HaChachma, Bar Ilan, Hebrew books. There's a crazy amount of information. This is done, I can testify, you can see it's still the library, a library of books, with a kesher with these books. These Svarim that he loved, Mamish, and he sent and used it. Now, so, Bekitzer, eventually, I always used to schmooze with him. I used to ask him, when's the rest coming out? Only one volume came out. There was different holdups, all different aspects. Finally, a bunch of years later, they started coming out. But when they came out, this time it did say his name. It was published by Mechon Karen Reim. And in 2015, it started to come out. And then the next two volumes came out. It was a huge simcha. Each time when the volume came out, one of the sons would call me. I would run to go get it. Incredible work. And Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to it. Now, they did something very interesting. When they republished volume one, is that, as I said, he had crazy long footnotes. So some of the footnotes they put to the back. They didn't censor it, but they put it to the back. Sometimes there are tangents. A lot of times when someone writes footnotes, and especially a yid like a Greenswag, as Tyrus and Kali, all different areas, his brain starts going all over the place. So they put it into the back. Some of the artists that were on later things, so you have to make sure to look at that. I think in Chel Gimel there is some form of a mafteach, but basically the Avodah Ham, which is an encyclopedia of topics and makairis and of tons of areas of relating to Archaim and the daily day-to-day life and Yomtiv, so now it has this pirish from this Rav Greenswag. Fascinating work. I highly recommend it. I think it sold out already more than once. I don't know if it's available at the moment, but anyway, incredible. Now, one of the things you could see in the work is that he quotes from everyone. And he's not embarrassed to cite his sources. He doesn't plagiarize, which is a common thing. A lot of times people find something somewhere, I'm not going to give him a kairos. Especially, it's always an excuse if you're taking something from academic literature, it's not so posh if I should be, I don't want to admit that I saw it in an academic place. Rabbi Greenswag quoted everyone. He quoted Lamashal Sholiman. He would quote him often, Tosefta Kapshuta. Why? And the Shita was of his Kabbalah Emes Mimisha Amra. And this was something you say that I learned from him in different conversations also. He was able to take from all the different Gedolim, whether it was a Litvisha, a Hasidisha, whether it was a Hungarian, whatever the Mahalach Halimah of the person was. We focus on if it's Emes. This is a Yisoid already from the Rambam and the Chavis Alvavas. We focus on Kabbalah's Emes Mimisha Amra. Now, the Avada, there are different Nakudas to discuss in this, how far do you go, etc. Ain't Kama Kaime now to talk about it during this Hesped, but it's a big topic. But he was makbid to quote his sources. When you look through his materials, you could see his love for Gainim, for Rishainim. He owned all the ones that would come out. Anytime a new Rishon came out, a new Achron, he would love to go because he hoped to find more jewels and pearls of wisdom. He'd be able to find these works. Just to mention one example. Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam wrote, not so well known, was a work on also relating to tefillah. That means that maspik, like the Hashem, incredible work. There's a part of the work was devoted to tefillah. We know that it was a much bigger work. A lot was lost, and constantly discovering more and more parts. So it's a massive chibur published by Bar Ilan University in Academic Press way, way back in the 90s, I believe it was, and very, very hard to find. It seems it sold out immediately. And you look in all of Rabbi Greenswag's writings, very fond to quote this work. It's incredible, incredible. Not that Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam needs my askama, or even Rabbi Greenswag's askama, but it's an incredible, incredible work. The beauty of the Sefer, the way it's written, what it says, the chiddush of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, and Mirtz Hashem, maybe one day I'll speak about it. But the point is that he would use it all the time. He was able to pull out from it a lot of different things. He was fascinated by Chalal about the Rambam, so it also helped with that. And it was so hard to find that one time I was desperate to find it. I couldn't find it. Looking high and low, he lent me his copy, something he didn't like to do. He didn't like to lend out Sfarim from his house. He had no problem people come to look at them. And he used to tell me a joke that it's schooler to publish it, to find a Sefer is when you make a copy of a Sefer. After that, then usually you'll find a copy. It took a few years for me to actually find the copy, and eventually it was also reprinted. But bottom line is the Yedda found in these footnotes, whether it's Tshuva Sfarim, whether it's Josh Sfarim, whatever, however it gets to Negea to his Diuk in Avodah Ham, or stamped understand the Makairis in Avodah Ham, is incredible. As I said earlier, Harkavi writes that the lot of Gainic material the sources were from were found. The Avodah Ham had access to a lot of Gainic material that we didn't have, and only in recent years have a lot of it come to light. Rabbi Greenswag goes out of his way to Mitzayin everything. If it's Avodah Ham, it's calling Rav Amram Gain. So where is it in Rav Amram Gain? In the Gainic literature that we have, all different things he publishes. Now, why did he pick Avodah Ham? So I would say it seems it's Pashut because it was a great work that did not have, only one other time did someone try to make an annotation, but he didn't get far. And it's a great work if one wants to park and someone that knows all the areas of Gantz, Archaim, Mayid, all these type of topics, It's a great area to park yourself and write Ha'aris. It's a, and as I said, Rabbi Greenstein knew, so okay, but I don't know exactly what was the reason. But Lamaisa, after he published it, they had different Eitzes how to publish it. One Eitzah was they're going to put out some of his Torah monthly of the Yom Tovim, and then they'll put in the back, let's say Rosh Hashanah, the back will be the Chalakim of the Avraham. But he also struggled with that because he held, what am I doing? It's not covered for the Rishon. My Torah is first and the Rishon's in the back. So I said, okay, so switch it, put the Rishon in the front and the back. I could say he struggled with it, but Lamaisa, in the end, when the Kriya Maida did come out, his Torah is in the front and then the Avraham is in the back with his Aris. Okay. But bottom line is that he left behind this incredible, he completed these three volumes on the Avraham. It's incredible. The Avraham Bechlal does an Imai Haskamas. It's unbelievable work for one trying to understand these Inyanim, and it has these beautiful Ha'aris of Greenstein. And to conclude with one last Nakuda relating to his writings. That is, I used to notice that in his, I noticed a lot, he quotes a lot of times, I'm in the Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud. Now, to understand the Eitzim of Farshei Talmud, back when I was a Bacher, there was certain zilzul that people gave to it, you know, the Green Monster, some people were very against it. Over time, I think people more calmed down to it, because they like to get the information from everywhere, and look, today, the Masifta Gemaras, how many copies are they sold with all the information? They're all being built off on the original idea of the Eitzim of Farshei Talmud. Not for now to discuss all the aspects, but bottom line is, the Eitzim of Farshei Talmud, so he's mitzayent it. Now, in, over the years, it was considered way back embarrassing. You don't admit you stole something in the Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud. Okay. Turns out that it's not embarrassing at all. I always was wondering when I looked at the Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud, and as I got older and more mature and was able to see the vast amount of material that they are quoting from, who wrote this? And you have to understand, this was written, before Hebrew books, Eitz HaChachma, and Bar Ilan, to the most part. And the Svarim, anyone could just open up the back, you'll see the Svarim were not on Bar Ilan. So, and you just, it's not enough if you make a chippus of a question and you get all this material. So I always had a Azah Shaila. Then I found out who is one of the main writers of the Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud. It was Reb Elie Greenswine. It says, name does say it in some of the volumes, not all the volumes. Now we're talking about, I again have to read it, because people are not going to understand this when time comes on, because we're living in the time of the AI and everything. There's, he did this by his Yedda. He owned this farm in his library. No Eitz HaChachma. Now, until someone sets out to try to do this, we cannot even begin to comprehend how hard it is to do. Now let me explain this a little bit. When you learn a Gemara, so as I said earlier, you focus on the questions and the things that interest you. A lot of times in yeshiva world, you're looking for the lamdash sugya, the lamdash prad in the sugya, and that's what you focus on. And sadly, in a lot of places, the basic hashbonis of Rashi and Tosis, the Rishonim, that falls by the wayside a lot of times. And certain areas where we don't even have that. There's a lot of questions that are technical questions. In the cheshbon, not only the lamdash, a girsa question, which the Rishonim already are handling with. To understand pshat, a pasha pshat question. So when someone takes upon themselves to take a blot, one blot, and to write a ha'aris based on kol from all the gainim, rishayim, achrayim, everything, and put it down well, organized, your head is spinning afterwards. I promise you, try it just for a half a amud, and you'll see. First, you'll see how long it takes you, even if you have Eitz HaChachma, and then you'll see how hard it is to do. You have to be holding the sugi. You have to be able to take out the certain parts and prot them from this gadol, from that gadol. It's confusing at a certain time in the sugyas. There's different halakha limud throughout the generations. This guy is this halakha limud. This guy is that. Reb Elie Greenswine was a master, and he put out, he did a lot of the work for Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud. He wrote, then, okay. So he, with different times, he showed me, oh, this volume he did, this volume he did. Okay. So sometimes I was learning, so then it changed for me, Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud. I knew the author, and I knew he has tremendous ideas. So sometimes I would go, after looking to the sugya, I would look at Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud for something, and I would see, it didn't quote up as a certain Chash of Amar Makam. So I was all proud, oh, I got Reb Elie Greenswine. So I would go to his house, next time I talked to him, and I would say, oh, by the way, this and this blot, you missed Epis Achuva Hudson Blot. So you say, what? Which blot? Let me see. And he had written down in his copy, Eitz Mefarshei HaTalmud, which blot he did. Let me say, a certain volume could have 10 blot, let's say. So he didn't do all the blot, he did some. So always would come out that the blot that he did, it wasn't the place that it was missing, Amar Makom. I found that, oh, well, proud of myself, was not from materials that he did. Anyway, the point is that he also help form and shape the Yitzim Mefarshei Talmud, which is a very, very valuable, useful tool. And over time, this inspired many other tools, I believe the Sifta Gemaras, which are very much used, and other Likutim Sfarim that are out there also are all copying, the ideas are coming from this original thing. But one of the people that began this and was doing this without computers, as I keep on saying, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Yedei and everything, was the Yid Reb Elie Greenzweig. So Reb Elie Greenzweig, the point is, as I'm trying to iterate, is a lot to learn from this tremendous Yid. A Yid that flew below the radar, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a tremendous Anav. And if one thing we could take out from his is that try, write Torah, learn as much as you could of Torah. No area is dry, every area of Torah is Geschmack. And write about it. And don't be thinking, I'm not publishing it, so why should I bother to write it? There's a certain clarkite that you get from writing. And yes, there is a machlekas, actually. Some people say that subconsciously you forget it because you don't remember it. It's true. But on the other hand, there's a lot of meyerdikah milus of writing. And watching Reb Greenzweig and then seeing eventually the materials that came out in his lifetime, and I'm sure if funds are found, many more writings of his will come out. Unbelievable. And Bekitzer, this Yid was a tremendous, tremendous matana that Hashem Yisbarach gave, sitting in his apartment, plugging away, writing, and most people never heard of him, and we were zaycha. And Hashem Yisbarach gives us many gifts. Sometimes we do know about them. But this is one such gift that, at least for me, was a person that had a tremendous impact on me. I gained so much from him, from his writings that were published already. Also, I gained Kaseder from the conversations I had, and he gave me so much time. What was he doing? Giving a little nobody time. So I'm always grateful for that. A tremendous harkaras atoiv, and he should be a melech yeshiva klal Yisrael.